indicates the nitzim alul hakayamin hakayamin. That's where that word on the top chart hakayamin la'olam no teles la'olam no teles. Indicate the nitzim alul hakayamin hakayamin. That's where that word on the top chart hakayamin la'olam no teles la'olam no teles. See, I put the word on the top of the nitzim alul chart. I put the word kayamin in there. I got it from the gross of Sutton Zion. But he claimed that all the Nifsa Malug discussion is only by what? By Kayama. Now he said it according to the Rush. I believe he meant it according to everybody. But if I'm wrong, you'll let me know. I'm not. No, it's the same. You're right. It's not Kayama. Yes, you're right. But when we get to the Dina de Masifta, we're going to see how things change a little bit around. That's what we're going to see. We're not the Dina de Masifta yet. This is what it says. What now? Before we go, Baruch Hashem, we made a siyum on Dina de Gemara. We went through eight lines. What? The Poshkin is the fact that you postponed the get for 12 months. Ma, that's the Chazal on the second. You postponed the get for 12 months, so what kind of a case? Mois olai. Kavapome, you postponed the get 12 months, so what kind of case? Moreda.
So, it's not
really, so you ask me a question, is that a good Polshkin? Obviously Ramban held, it's not a good Polshkin. Well, the big question becomes, why do we postpone the get for 12 months? That's going to be the key. Why postpone the get? Why? What did Rashi say? Why postpone the get for 12 months? Maybe they get back together again. So maybe the Rush held, the Madak in the case of Moy Solai, we hope to get back together. Where even though she's discussing to her Kavachol, they just had a spat. She spat at him and he spat at her. Right? So now we should hope that they're going to get back together again. Wait. You want to have a Polshkin? Okay. Polshkin is Saladar and all. Very good. Okay, you're right. Very nice. Any questions right now on the chart? It's a very good chart, no? Is it clear? Schwartz graphics? Or what's it for you in the rabbit? How should it chart? Oh, no. Yeah? Being in the Masala or by Marisola? What did I have to say now that? Kushirak. Well, maybe it's the Kushirak. I don't know what the Kushirak is saying. I don't know. Get me a Kushirak. You have a Kushirak? Bring it in. Bring it in. Let's see what it says. No, that was a different rashi. So he did. David printed up the Sirajba, which the Chazanish is the Beit Yosef, which came out exactly the same. Right. That's what I figured it was going to be. Anyway, this is Dina de Gemara. Any questions, I'm okay. If you have a question, ask it now. Everything should be clear as clear can be. Yeah. What about this? Thank you very much. Let's read it together. Let's see if I'm right or wrong. See, all the pelts and quotes around Banner I spoke together. Maybe. Well, I just thought of. Maybe. Maybe they had thought that the Ramban would give it to Rashba, that Rashba was printed. You know, the Chiddush Rabbah was printed in the Rashba. Maybe that's how it is. Okay, I don't know. Let's be patient. Go up, keep some Ramban and Rashba together. Just say it, finish the room. Ramban and Rashba are first. So I think it's Rashba here. Well, let's take a look. Maybe I'm wrong. What are we looking for now? Din of what? Suba by what? By the Inale and the Sanale. One second. Hold on. Hold on. You lost it when? After 4 weeks. That's correct. That's right. Sure was there other than Paket? Okay, well, I don't want to take time out. Let me borrow this, okay? All right, I hand it to you. I can read it. Yeah, give me both. I'll look at it after. I'll look at it first, and I'll pay it tomorrow. You don't mind. I don't mind it. Which number? I just quote by the back of my head. Okay, Ramosai, let's spend the rest of the year on Bina Dimisivta. Bina Dimisivta! You see, we have spent, I take that back. We have mentioned the word Bina Dimisivta with great reverence. We've been discussing it from the perspective of forcing a guest. Do they have the power to do so? Do they make a new takvana, or just quote with the Gemara takvana? We discussed it there. We call the high and mighty of Bina Dimisivta if it exists. We never discussed until now, except just to read it without even saying any comment. The nitty gritty of Bina Dimisivta. What do they say as far as the nitty gritty is concerned? So let's look in the Rush. It's not finished to read the song. We didn't see it. We didn't really concentrate on the song yet. The Rush falls to Bina Dimisivta. That's a good place to start. We're supposed to do the Rush and the other thing anyway. Let's read the Rush. This is the one thing I answered to see my mind. It's not that I can see the Rush. Well, we haven't read it yet. Now I'll do it. The Rush here, page 246. End of Lamed Dalet. Rabotai. You may see at the end of Lamed Dalet, it says on the left extreme, in brackets, Daf Samach Dalet. You see that place there? See it in black print? Anybody? With me?
Yeah.
All right, so there's two lines after that. The Hash is Lohitmahet Lohoki Lohoki, Talk to the Lachinamina, Lo Talk to Lo Yavinan Lo. Lo say, I said the Rush. I don't know. It's on Basel. Chesnis lo, it's possible. Abo taka chesnis lo. This has kosa koi lo olam. You don't know where that comes from. That's a very mystifying Rush. Why should that be? Things are usually considered to be his. Unless she grabs it. Why is the taka her? We'll have to come back to that. The chen nifte lo. You can't be told if it belongs to him, not to her. That's the problem. He had a problem. It belongs to her, him, unless she grabs it. You can't grab Taka, it should be his. Why do I say it belongs to her? You don't understand that. This thing, look, we understand. The Tiny. Abomona Masayim Betosefes Eimla. She loses her what? What? She loses her Ksuba. She loses her Ksuba. Says the Rosh. She loses her Ksuba. When? What? Maybe 12 months. You want 12 months? Vapilo the garden should funnel a yachtin me aleo, that the Levishka the Mephic will cock me lo, she won the dial. Umakino the train the army, shot them, let them, is only bow. Says the Rosh, we read this once before. Pastonis will not be there, but Roy my opponent. That the Rosh, she doubled the notes of Roy, but that them don't aleo. The Hashir Hoyle and Pass and Balea, and I will almost low be the lay, if I bound the garrison in the yard. Came as she put trust in the sewer, she was doing her, freebie. What could be better? No wife and no money. What? That doesn't cost anything. And you get rid of your wife and it doesn't cost anything. It's unbelievable. And you're lining up. They came out to get you fast enough. Can you imagine a bargain like this? There'll be a sale, you know? You go to a store and it costs you $100 for an item. On sale for 10. For free. You're long enough to get it. The divorce, your wife puts $1,000. Free. In the next 30 days, you divorce your wife, you can get away with nothing. So the lining up the right get? Yeah? The Shiva, you are not in this time. The women will have karata, what they did. What did I do now? No, what, I'm all alone. Tiknu she tishya estona. If you got ten of it, Hashana shalot, tebe tibas on the fila, yistah idol ha zubo. If you got ten of it, shalot, tebe tibas on the fila, yistah idol ha zubo. Ulai is paisu betom Hashana. Here's the line. Okay, but the six of capital merit and more, the life of the real is garish me, below the, Kolshka and the merit. You're looking for the law, here it is. Josh, that's the law. Kolshka and the merit. What's the Kolshka? He, my boy, is the life. Where me, Iker Adin. He should have been able to get divorced immediately because he's obviously incompatible because he's 160 pounds of Madonna. He's still like away for a year. How the hell I shot if they had a spat? Don't make it by 3 years. The ain't any don't is also shana. Abu who also pairs. The chaya vipur kona. We'll get to that later. This is the donos kunsu also. Why? The rov nashim ain't mastic mati of them and donos ain't. So therefore maybe it will be an incentive for the kid to make up. Abu haisef hafeit. Shlo yochal abal pairs. She loved that. Pairs the chasel is having for kona. The last book in England, we don't allow it. It's a who also favors, the came into the favorite Kayab Gamma Tricona, the Aroa to Kayab and Furata, came into the Apollo, the Garcia, below the Luna Sofa Sana. We have the Mark Furata, Taka, two books. Who remembers that tomorrow? That's what we saw at the beginning of this man, right? Then Zion and Mercedes, I believe. Then, I think so. Furata, Taka, two books. What does two books mean? Zipse Tobago, this is Rashi. Zipse Tobago. Are basically his, unless he grabs it, so therefore he is obligated to bury her. That's his Gemara. Everything's so much beautiful, crystal clear. But look, Yavina, what Yavina? Says the carbon of the son of in the year 10, below Ksuba. Not your force. He never force. If he wants. Here we have the first, just for a second, look at the chart. Zina de Mesista, which, what case is the Mesista? What's the case? Presumably by Moya Salai, that's the last thing we were talking about. So by Moya Salai, some say, we'll get to it later, even by Zina and the Tower, right? That's the parentheses in the very topic of the chart, right? In the lineup, but for the right, you know, the darkest right spot. What's it then? Been out of the way a year, so the Russians get me out, Rush. Do you force a divorce? The Russians about to say half to show him. The mama there view throat. Who says that in the Mississippi they force a divorce? Who says so? We already saw that. Who? The Ramban. Yes, I was the Pope and the Ramban. I was gonna write Riff, but then I said, no, the Riff may hold that Pope is from where? It's from Dina de Gamal, the Shirigon. So I put that Ramban. And they left the Riff out of it above the fray. Okay? Let's keep going now in the oh, you know what? Let me get to the other points first. Keep your finger over here, which is the Yalder. And I go down, if you don't mind, to the last four lines, the narrow line. Avalosi chaful agarita. You don't pass the sum of 4 sons of the worst life. The afternoon, every man that passes on his own, and then and also those who use the new Tommy, and Martin, and other little Tulo. Kolskane, we discussed by reason whether that's true or not. Kolskane, Shehimo Nas, the Asma, to those Tiknu La Harbos Mamzer in the Israel. Musa Shibinos Israel arose, Gashala, Sifu Ra, Aura Ozan, or the Bach Kirsa. Musa Shibinos Israel arose, to Sifu Ra, Aura Ozan, by Yibu Mamzer in the Israel. That's what it says. That's what it says. They pass the Shalom to force again. That's why it's against the Ramban. And he's saying Shat the Rif, mind you, as I said earlier. I'll go back to the left off on the second line. The Kapsa Midi Biksubasa, it's all part of the, we never came, we were talking about the big issue, never because of the nitty gritty. The Kapsa Midi Biksubasa, Machina Mina, the Avinale Lebal. What does that mean? She loses what? She loses the Biksuba, which is what the, so I says, it's Sida, Kidina Gemara. She loses the Ksuba. Well, actually, no, maybe I made a mistake. She loses it immediately. Kidina Gemara, she only loses it what? Good base code. I think I may have made a mistake over here. I said, Kidina Gemara, but doesn't it mean he's Sida Miyad? I'll tell you what, it's a little bit late. Let's stop over here. You can't be one of the Dinah of the Sifta and the rest of the Mount McComas. Tomorrow I want to talk about the Parsha Shavua. I want to talk about what? Commentator. And other matters, as well as some of the Gemara, okay?
The wrong question.
For a time hell. I mentioned it to you a little bit, right after Yom. But I felt that was appropriate given what's going on here in the Yeshiva. These are the Rav's notes. I mean, he wrote them in Hebrew, but the original Rav was in Yiddish, and it was exactly 33 years ago. I thought it was just an era of Pesach, and in the month of Iyar, which you're holding right now, the month of Iyar, the Rav said the Hesped in the Yeshiva, and explained that there was just an obligation of the Hesped. And Chazal say the person who's lazy about a hesped is very, very bad. This is about Yehoshua, who was not mitzvah kahalacha. And the whole ultimate purpose of the hesped is the avelus should be laid. Laid means, the Rebbe explained, two things, the intellectual and the emotional. And therefore, when someone gives a hesped, he's playing, he's required to drive the individual who has passed away. And to explain as a pedagogue would who the person was in intellectual terms is also supposed to try to arouse the emotion. As it says in the Gemara, Agra de Hespeda Deluye. Deluye means two things. It means crying. One broken tazot. It also means literally to lift up, to lead, pick somebody up. We don't believe in crying for the sake of crying, but ultimately for the sake of uplift. That's why I wanted to devote the myself a little bit. This is a chugma tumtum. I'm discussing for a big oil, and I'm not just sort of qualified. But my own little room, I still think I have an obligation to speak in this fashion. says in Shabbat, Achamli ben Spezoi, the Hasan Ka'imna, one of the Amaroyim gave a request to the friend that when you say Hester to me, it should be a Hester Chan, it should be, you know, Nirgash, it should be something that is heartfelt. The Hasan Ka'imna, I'm going to be there. Remember the distinction. One of the rabbis that the adult of the Quran of Allah, he said that, you know, he feels, he comes to this task with such fear and trembling, so this Gemara, so he feels the spirit of the Nifter is there. You know, we don't view things that way. You know, the general concept of Hesed, the person of God, he's nowhere to be seen, and therefore he's nowhere to be found. We don't have to consider him directly. We talk, you know, from various perspectives that. But no, somehow the spirit is there. The spirit is there. And this is, we are quoted from the Gemara Brachot, who came to destroy him in our nation, and destroy him in our Sabdonim and all in our Korean. Which means, the same way as a person who dies, he himself is punished for whatever sins he may have committed, so too, are just stop done, and those who give them faith in that they are inaccurate, they lie, that they miss the mark, that's the song they took to be punished. And, you know, that's quite an introduction. After the introduction, I can just be quiet and say nothing. It's probably maybe the smartest thing to do. We know that we can't do a good job. Mentioned on Sunday, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, that the Rav is the expert of giving us favor. So I wanted to read to you some of the things here, which I already made reference to briefly after Pesach, but it's worth repeating, greater or less. The Rav began the Hesped by going to Pesach in Yirmiyahu. May Rachok Hashem nearly. The Ahavat Olam Ahavtim Akeim Neshachtim Kosh. That Torah for Rosh Hashanah is the second day. What does that mean? The Rav explained that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was far from me. Infinitely far, infinitely distant. Before that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was close to me, but I was blind. I didn't see. I didn't look around. Right next to me, Kodesh Baruch Hu was there. Yeah. Now there's a tremendous distance between himself and me. Suddenly, I'm drawn to him, and I'm not able to see him. And he gives a muscle. You know, I kept Shabbat. I put on tefillin. I davened. What did I think about the greatness of these actions? I didn't realize what it means. The person comes to shul and daven. So some people say that when they walk into shul, "Vani b'rov chazka ka'avo ve'sefa eshdacha ve'alechalcha shekol v'yirasa." What does that mean? You're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is giving you the ability and the opportunity, the permissibility, come into his house, to pray to him, to bow down to him, to fear him. Something which really doesn't make sense. First glance, he is a mortal human being who's a nobody, who's so limited. What does he have? Nothing. He really should not have the right to daven. Remember the Rav's rushes, he's talking about it. Before you daven, after they kill him, he used to call it a matir for davening. You walk in and say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Who are you? Or even more chutzpah, you say, Refrainu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Who are you? Because Baruch Hu not only gives you the opportunity, but it's the ability to give you an obligation to daven, to bring yourself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you have this opportunity day in and day out, 3 times a day. Unfortunately, too many people don't maximize the opportunity. They're going to go in and out. There's no haggis. There's no feeling of gratitude, of closeness. It becomes a rope. The holiest mitzvah filled in. You wrap on, you wrap off, and you don't even think what it is. The man Tia, Torah, Hashem, and people. You recognize what you're carrying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed on you. He gave you this opportunity, this mitzvah. Where are you? Aren't you overwhelmed by feelings of closeness? The answer is no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right there. You come to a shul, and you know, HaKadosh called out Torah, Shkint Hashayah. 10 Jews are there, the Shkin is there. Somehow or other. We're in and out. We're thinking about our obligation tomorrow and what would happen yesterday. And we're living in our minds aren't there. Our minds are in the stock market, our minds are in class, or maybe our minds are in sheer. But they're not letting them chew what it's supposed to be. They're not thinking about what it's grown as it should be. What happens sometimes? A person not able to go to sleep. Give them a muscle, a person gets sick. He's sick, he's homebound, he's bedbound, he can't move. And suddenly he feels the cutting throat. He sees it. They welcome. Crisis. He's not well. He's not in his regular routine. He's not in shul. Somebody is able to see the cutting throat even more from his distance than he was when the cutting throat could be up right there. He might be up there. Psychological phenomena. But we don't see that which is spoken to us. We become so used to it. We don't see it. There'll be people who walk by a street their whole life, don't know the name of the street. They don't look at the signs. I'm right here, I don't know. Going on a faraway journey, they just look and see, oh, that's this, and the tail hip, and it's right next door, they don't know. They don't look. Their eyes are closed right in that, in their own house, right in their own shoe. That's kind of rochak Hashem nirui. And therefore, when the person is far away, he suddenly recognizes the great love, the overwhelming and eternal love he has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Abbas Olam Atzi. Baruch saying that he loves us in eternal love, even though we're so far away, even though we were not proper in our conduct when the Kodesh Baruch was so close. I came to chapter 20. Kodesh Baruch pulls us. There's a pull exerted. Dafka for the person is remote and removed, far away. Bringing in somehow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inexorably close to that infinite pull from the infinite distance of the Rochel. Somehow or other, the person pulls, perhaps never be able to get so close again. The pull which is unnecessary when I caught his brother was so close, he could open his eyes. But he did. Now that I caught his brother was no longer so close, far removed, not enough to open your eyes, you have to run after him and run and go. You feel that magnetic pull to look for him and be able to see and be able to come close. Only because it was in the rush. The Rav explains the same phenomenon is true of human beings, of great human beings. After all, we do know, Et Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbi of Talmidei Chachamim, that the Talmud Chacham is some of the only thing that we know about, as far as my knowledge of Chazal, that is included somehow miraculously in, was included somehow by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Et Hashem Elokecha. As is Marabeth, the Rabbo Talmidei Chachamim. That's Mora Rabcha Kemora Shemayim. But some are already have to have an attitude toward the Talmud Chacham in a positive sense, as you do toward some towards the Rabbanu Shalom. Whatever that means, you don't quite fully grasp what it means. The Rav pointed out that the exact same phenomenon to describe in the Neroch of Hashem nearly applies to a Talmud Chacham too. How often we have a Talmud Chacham in our midst and we don't pay attention. We don't listen, we don't look. Yeah, it's taken for granted. Taken for granted, in a literal sense. Your eyes are closed, you're blinded. You don't see what's happening. It goes on, it can be for a very long period of time. And then suddenly, you find yourself Meroko. When you find yourself Meroko, that's when you open your eyes. And you say, wow, look what it was that we had right here. Right here. You were too blind, you were too busy with other things. Now we're trying somehow or other to be drawn close to the unreachable, when they rough us. That's a chance. Even though Yohan Navi was brought up in the Shemayim, but the students searched him for 3 days, looking, where is he? Oh, where is he? At least he said he went up to the Shemayim, but they were drawn to him. Maybe we could find him or some remnant or some something. Where were they before that? Holy Elisha was there. That was how they weren't so close to Eliyahu. He was there. Well, Eliyahu, why is it today? Okay, tomorrow. But then the next day, well, you know, it's taken for granted until it's too late. And then they start searching. I mentioned to you, I believe, after Pesach, the Medrash that the Rav quoted. Rav Simon died. That's the Medrash in Parshas Mikesh. It says, Hashvatim mitziya matzu uksir vayete libam. Vayete libam, when they found the silver in their knapsack. Onu shavadnu es Rav Simon alachot kama v'kama. We who have lost of Simon, how much more so must we be in the category of Yetzer Libam, the heart's going out. And he explained as follows, that the brothers, all they had to do to avoid this terrible plot against them was to open up the knapsack when they were still in the trap. That's all they had to do. Open up the knapsack, the silver would be there, say, your majesty, your honor, here it is, the mistake, the bar. No problem. But because they didn't do that, because they missed the boat, they were too late. They were in a rush to get out, they ran there. And then a day later, whenever they open up the inn, they open up the knapsack and they see silver, it's much too late. Much too late to be able to defend themselves in the court of the shrine. Too late, they missed the boat. Same idea. The steamer died. No longer there. Sure, he was alive, and we could have opened up his knapsack to ask him for all the questions we wanted to ask him, to gain all we could from him. But we were lazy, we were in a rush, we were running here and there, we were going and coming, we were busy with other things. And as a result, we didn't take advantage. We didn't gain what we could have gained. Now, all of a sudden, Simon is no longer around. We want to open the knapsack, it's too late. Too late! Just as Yetzer Libam, the brothers realized how late, that they had missed the boat, they were too late, and they could no longer open the knapsack. They opened it, but it's too late to defend themselves in the court of the shrine. So too, Rav Simon died, as Talmidim said, it's too late. We should have asked him all these questions when he was still alive. Now it's too late. Now we first realize what a great man we have. Just as back on his growth, with Meirachok Hashem Nirali, now, so too with the human being. This is Rav Simon, Meirachok. He disappeared, and now we recognize what we have. We see it. We can't quite reach it anymore. But we're pulled to it. We have an obligation to try our best to come close to it. And so, as the Rav said about Rav Chaim Heller in the testament that we say about the Rav himself, the same thing is true for us. It's only true for me. Maybe you're too young to clap Kotasi, saying, I sinned because you were simply too young. But those of us who were older had opportunities much more than we took advantage of to hear from the Rav, to understand from him, to gain insight into the world, Torah, from who he was and what he was. Ultimately, you may have read the commentator, he's always called himself a Malamed. I heard this many times. A Malamed, a Malamed. And he said, it's not fair because I thought his brother described himself as a Malamed, told him he's wrong. He wasn't Malamed, no question about it. He was a master pedagogue, never anything like it in my life. But we were often lazy. We didn't go to every shiur, you know, and this year we used to give downtown to Maria. I used to go, but I didn't go all the time. I go on the train, and I go down and come up, yeah. And you get that parasa, which you could have gained the mastery of the whole range of halacha and drush. Yeah. Merochel. Now that it's far away, you begin to feel that pull, tugs at your heart. Why did I do things differently? I must confess that I feel this pull. As I mentioned at the beginning of my remarks, I don't feel myself confident to properly give a headspin. I thought the best way, as I said before, is to use the words of the Rav himself. He used it about a prime heller, but many of them could be used about the man who wrote it instead of the Rav himself. Quote over here that Dr. Belkin, when he introduced the Chaim Heller, once used an expression that the Chaim is a plate that's so friend. Same one as he's plate that's so friend. What do the words mean? The Rebbe explained that this means a whole great deal. In every generation, has to have a link to the generation before. You've heard Darshan speak about the Mesorah. I told that yesterday was the Mesorah, and Monday was going to talk about the Mesorah. I want to talk about the Mesorah too. This is one of the Rav's main themes he taught us. He taught us in his person, not only in his words. The Rav says, right over here, you have to have, by definition, a Mesorah to go back to the generation from before. It's impossible. Just look in the books and read the Svarim and then be able to create things from nowhere. You have to have a link to a generation before. It's an indispensable part of our tradition. How so? How is it possible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu always imagined every generation have a plate that's Ofreya. But somebody who remains in the generation from before, who with his towering personality and his scholarship and his tradition, is able to pass on, if you will, the legacy which he himself inherited from generations before him. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised. He will see Shachar Nitzizaro. The Torah will be forgotten, but the Olam is able to pass it on to the next generation. Oh, you know, the Rav explained that the Torah does not just mean fact. A fact, I heard this fact, that fact, a third fact. I don't know, much more than experience, including stories, including tradition. Very often what we heard from the Rav was not what he saw himself with his own eyes. Oh no, it's what he heard from his father, his grandfather, that they pounded each other over with such tremendous accuracy as they understood it from the Britskas act. Over the story again and explain it again and what you learned from it and how it came about, etc. When I used to this stuff, we had legends, I'll tell you a fact of myself, my memories are good, especially for these things. I can't remember what exactly the stories were. Some probably had a much better memory for these than I have. So when I say things over, I'm not even sure I'm saying exactly the way I heard it. But one thing's clear, they're going to say all these stories and he said it over and he had a reason for saying it over. Many of the stories, of course, involve members of his own family. I remember one such story. Well, I still remember the Rav telling us the story and how he drew in his own contemporary allusions, just to wake us up a little bit, to get to bring it. Well, the Rosh Hashanah is one of the greatest curses. So to bring the tradition of Brisk and of Europe and make it understandable to Americans. Rabban spoke about that, Rabban a little bit, his own metaphor. But just to give an example, the Rabban is telling a story about the view as to who should be Rosh Hashanah and Valoz. Understand where the Rabban is coming from, because the feud involved two of his ancestors. His namesake of Yeshua Ber, later of Brit, before that of Alojin. Rav Yeshua Ber was a great grandson of Rav Chaim Valojina, one of Rav Chaim Valojina's daughters married to Soloveitchik, of Yosef Soloveitchik. And he had a son of Yitzchak Soloveitchik, who had a son of Yeshua Ber, Rav's great grandfather. Who was a direct great-grandson of Rav Chaim Valojina, his daughter's son. And the other person who was a co-candidate was the Nitziv. The Nitziv married to the Beis Arad. The Nitziv married the daughter of an Itzel of Valojina, who was Rav Chaim's son and an heir. The Nitziv was a grandson of Rav Chaim Valojina, but not a great grandson, but only through marriage. He married him. But from the familial perspective, they both had a claim, in a sense. Subsequently, the Nitziv became related to Rav Yosef Ber when his granddaughter, the Nitziv's daughter, married Rafal Shapira, a great zone. I have mentioned to you the false experience about the famous, there are many of my folks, but the famous my folks about what happens if somebody dies, you hear about it from far away. You start the evangelist immediately, now the thing is a false appearer, but you have to wait until after you hear another telegram when the Kapoor was, or you know when the Kapoor is going to be. That's the thing that it is. Then I mentioned to you that they came to quote this machlokes, that the thing was happened by Sarah, but the Sid was Nifta. So the telegram was sent to his daughter, the reverend of a false appearer. There's a whole discussion, what did she do? Did she follow her father, follow her husband? I mean, these are stories. So Rabbi Paul Shapira had a daughter, and this daughter married Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Ber's son, who then began, he was not rich, he was a Valojin. So what happened was, I think the fascinating historical development was, Rabbi Yosef Ber left, because he was a Machlokes, and the opinion sort of favored the Tzid. Of Yeshua Ber's junior partner, it was Machlokes from Talmidim. He left to go to Brisk, and his son, Rav Chaim, so in terms of the learning, it was such a peak, because the Shiva kept growing. There were hundreds of Talmidim who were really the sort of the Yiddish guys from all the subsequent generations. That was Valojin. He's telling us a story about this dispute between his two ancestors, his great grandfather and his great, great, great grandfather. Whatever it is, it is great grandfather, great. tumult. I said, what's this? Susan's a maker of tumult. What is Susan's a maker of tumult? Not as an American thing. It's not. What do you mean American thing? Happened about Lushing too. The students came and they closed it. They wouldn't let, it was a poor one. They were in the gym, wandering up behind Berlin to say she was stuck. And the police didn't want it, but they blocked the door. They wouldn't let him in. But yeah. But it's right or wrong, I'm not saying. But I'm saying but that there was this precedent for this. not as an American thing. It's not. What do you mean American thing? Happened about Lazio too. The students came and they closed it. They wouldn't let. They wouldn't let. It was a poor one. They were in the gym sponsoring a Chaim Berlin to say it sucked. And if they didn't want it, they blocked the door. Wouldn't let him in. But yeah, well, it's right or wrong, I'm not saying. But I'm saying that there was a precedent for this since the people called Chaim, right? Founded Chaim of Lazio. So we have something. Something's having a common law. Okay, that's what we don't. But something we do. The rabbi told another story about the dad of Dintara. They got to the point that it was impossible to resolve the dispute. So they called him a Dintara, and his Dintara, this is where I remember he made the funny remark. So the Dintara, they brought in what he called the money I received, but the rabbanim who had trustees of the yeshiva, and they would be the ones to make to see the greater benefit of the yeshiva and the Klal Yisrael. And he looks at us and he says, it's not like our board of trustees. And he mentioned, who are not learned and not rabbanim, but then he told them, the chodesh was brought into the case. Yeah. And there was also a magid, one of the great magidim was brought into the case. Of course, my memory being fourth rather than the name of the town he was from. The Magid was from something, I thought he used to know. And he said that there was a big meeting, and the Magid said that today is Parshas Vayeshev. That's how he started talking. Parshas Vayeshev? It wasn't, no, it was a different time of the year. The Gamay was now in Parshas. What was Parshas Vayeshev? So the Magid got up and said as follows. He said, you know, I'm a Magid, that's my profession. And my job, the paintings in black and white. And every week I get up and I dash from the bima, and I paint things in black and white to avoid the black and to describe the white. And it's very easy. It's easy. First, the Shabbat Bereishis, I get up, and I paint it's black and white. Black is Cain, a murderer. And white is Hevel, who was innocent. And the next thing I think about Noah was white, and the Jeremiah is black. Then I speak about Avram Avinu's wife and Terah was black, or then I invite to Avram's wife and Lot was black. And then we speak about, Yitzchak was white and Esav was black. And we speak about Yaakov was white and Laban was black and Esav was black. And every time, also every single parashah explained every single one of the parashahs. I saw it on the Esav. Everything was great. So I come to my age. I have an Esav to whip my whipping boy. So I have Lava, my Esav, I have an Esav, everybody, no problem. My Esav, who had I have the brothers against the other? I'm out of it. Yosef was dead. How can you say Yosef? The brothers are dead. The brothers, shit, they caught. So then I say, I don't know what to do. That's how the market began. But now I'm passed by Esav. I talk about a case, no, Godel the Torah, the Yerushalayim, and some other pretenders of the throne. Talk about two Gedolim, two Gedolim, Chochmah and Torah and Musar and everything. We told the top of the story. The story is also printed, I think. I don't think it's only gathered from the Rome. But when he told over the story, the story lived. He never saw this before he was born. It took place. But he heard it. He was reading the book. He heard it from Dalek, his father, probably his old grandfather. And they relived every detail. This is the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is not just Kiddush Torah. Of course, it's the main part of the Mitzvah. The main part of the Mitzvah is the Torah. Let me explain to you. The main part is the Torah. This other part is considered what we call the auxiliary part, if you will. I mean, you can perhaps compare it to a tree, a fruit tree. Well, the main thing is the fruit. That's the Torah after those. The Torah with the Kedusha Torah with the ins and the outs. And they have perhaps the real story, which is perhaps the tree itself, but the ultimate purpose, the fruit of the tree itself. And what happened is actually in the building of the Torah. And then the Gemara puts it, the Sifas Kulin. And the Sifas Kulin, the Tamir Chav Sifalim was the Aleu Lo Ivo, compared to a leaf. The Parsha explained. The leaf is really not really for. The leaf, the tree itself, I understand, of course. The fruit is the main thing. The leaf is there, the size thing. It's just a show almost. Like the Sifas Kuhn is what they call it. Rav Sifas Kuhn, when he talks about five matters, 5 points, he's always sprinkled with quotes, Chazal, with stories, with that. That's how he speaks to us. That's how he spoke to us. The Rav spoke to us in a way which he knew that we could grasp everything he was saying. Try. He knew that if he tried hard enough, he could grasp the basis of what he was saying. He didn't try to lose us, you know, with a mode of Rosh Hashivah. He tried to lose the Talmidim. That was the biggest quote. The faster he can lose it, the better. Don't tell us about a particular Rosh Hashivah, all of us, all of us. He's a particular Yeshiva. He needs to come down into the room, and the quote said they should lose Talmidim before he sit down in the chair. He's already been lost. And it was explained to me how he would. I'm serious. He said it. Remember, he said, Rashi would sit down and say, as he was sitting, for those who know Yiddish, Vadira, Vera time. And the Sira did Tura Pachai. I thought he stopped to see it. Like the Mora, Toysis, Rashi, Rambam. Sira did Tura Pachai. And, you know, everyone would sort of be knocked out, like before they even started. What happened? And the Rav didn't go that way. It's not my time. Before my time. He would start the basics and build it up and repeat himself sometimes, and he would, you know, dramatize it, and he was a master pedagogue. He wanted to make sure everyone should be able to understand. And first it was in Yiddish, then it was in English, and it was each way, and it had its own gula, its own special talent that he brought to bear. He wanted to be, he played to the audience. He played to the audience. He told me a story that somebody wants to complain to the other one of his big shirim. What is this? This is just dramatic. It's drama. It wasn't really all that much tochen in it. The Rav, I think, responded to it by saying, drama is also part of communication. Part of the story. It's dramatizing. Apparently there was presence for the Brisker School. Those who were there. He's from Chaim himself. And Chaim is known in his time as the greatest maggid shir. He would get people excited. Sometimes you read him kind of stuff, you don't understand what he's saying. You can't fully understand what's written there. You don't fully grasp it. But the calendar of time was alive, and he was explaining it to me. He'd capture your imagination. He would just somehow convince you that the thing was right. And he would just be something special. But we had a time. Time was a long time ago. But apparently the Rav picked up some of those things from Rav Chaim, because that's to be a good Baal Mazbir. But to be a winning pedagogue, which is more than just explain things properly. He had this ability which he, of a Malavid. A Malavid had all the tricks at his disposal to be able to somehow, captivate his audience. And Rav had this, no question about it. He had this ability. Talmidim don't have it, of course. By definition, if you're a general rule, the Talmud is picked up a little bit from the Rebbe. A little bit. Every time picked up a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But it's just a little. A very little bit. Seems to me that that's one of the points Rav brings out here in the Hesed about Plato Sofram, that there has to be somebody who able to transmit a tradition from long ago. Of course, the Chazal say that Terach Bas Asher lived long, and she actually lived until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. One total you've given. Who cares? Who needs it? Because you needed someone, and he put this, who played in the lap of Yaakov Avinu. What person had to be alive by Matan Torah? It was a miracle. How many years it was? And so this brother made a miracle. There should be one, at least one person who's going to say, oh, I played in the lap of Yaakov Avinu. I be playing, of course, the Chazal, she played music. You know, she's the one who told them about Odio Tukai, and she'd have a heart attack. And she was able to tell over that story to those who were sitting there by Har Sinai. It's an amazing thing. That's a shot. Rashi says, there, Kaylee, the Anveil. That Kaylee, this is my God. Every human being is able to establish a relationship with God's birth. But the relationship to be successful and proper goes beyond that. The back to the relationship with my father. He quotes from Rashi, Lo ani tchilas hakadusha, ala muzekasi yomedesi hakadusha, velokuso alayim yimei avosha. That's the difference of it. And if it was true in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time of Matan Torah and Hasina, if they needed a Sarah Platosha, if they needed a personality, a figure from the distant past, how much more so in our generation? We are so far from the original Harsina. We need a personal relationship to the generation before. We know that, the generation go down to the Aridus Hazor. You have to have that personality in your mind, in your eye, which gives you an idea of what was. As I'll say, he quotes from Alaska, to Fabay, Achia Shiloni Miyotim Mitzrayim. What does that mean? That he was the one who was able to see the help out the generation that saw David's kingdom split. Don't turn the note in the law. David's kingdom split, and your Rabbi Ben Levad put up his Egel Azov. And we thought that the Jewish people were going to go under. No. No. Achia Shiloni stood next to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the quote of Pleita Sofrei. He was the one who could somehow find a way to strengthen the Jews in time of crisis. It was a difficult time. So the rough quote of Chaim Heller was to him, in a sense, his generation is Pleita Sofrei. Why? Because he was still able to say, I spoke with, as a youngster, the Yosha Be'er Frid, the Nitziv, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, the Gedolim of the late 19th century. He was a young man. He knew them. A young boy, but he knew them. I heard this, and I met this, and I saw this. And of course, when he got older, he was friends with the next generation, Rav Chaim, and some of the other Gedolei Olam of that time. The point was that apparently Rav Chaim Heller, who was a very closed personality, was really a bookish person, a person who did not give big shiurim, but he lived his life in that world, the world of the Beis HaLevi and the Meshach Zavah, the world of the great Gedolim that he saw. You know, I've had the feeling that this is the Rebbe to us, at least to me. What do we know? Well, let's face it, the world today is different than the world that I grew up. I think what we know about the Dodgers. I grew up in Brooklyn as a little kid, and we didn't know anything. What do we know? I went to school. I told you I went to day school. I went to the Yaakov Yosef, but I got hit like a good Talmud. You know, the Rebbe yelled at me. That was all fine and good, but we didn't have really. I didn't have that link who came before. I must tell you that in high school, I felt a little bit. What I felt the most when I was in high school was my last year in high school. My last year in high school had a Rebbe named Rabbi Zadel Epstein. I don't know what he knows who he is. He was a Rebbe what they called a certain specific way. He was my Rebbe. And he was the first one. I think I was too young before to appreciate it, but I know the Rebbe who learned by great Rebbe. He loved Rabbi Simon Scott. Before they all go. Rav Shimon Shkop, but mostly taught in Grodno. That's first tells in Grodno, I don't know the whole history. He lived by Rav Shimon Shkop in Grodno apparently for many years. So what year? That I guess probably in the 30s. I'm guessing. Shimon Shkop was then, Besart Yoma, Rav was man and probably in the 70s at that time. With his full majesty and his full breadth of knowledge, Rav Shimon Shkop was considered, wow! He was considered a Talmud from Rav Chaim Zaken. Before Rav Chaim Talmidim, they would say he had somehow the greatest heckish, you know, you got to do that chariot, but it's spicy. I mean, you have to do the Torah with the sin of the flow at the time. And my Rebbe, the Zedel, refers to Rav Shimon, as he refers to him in his Siva, Abish's brother, as the Rav. The Rav said this, the Rav said this, the Rav said this, the Rav said this, the Rav, the Rav, the Rav, the Rav. And you got the impression, here he is, he's living the Rav. Now when I had him, it was 1963-64, my last year of high school. And Shimon has already gone in the world over 20 years. So I felt that this man was my link to that tradition. If you were too young before, I shouldn't say that very before that didn't happen. The culture of the Europeans learned by various people about, I don't quite, I don't happen. I was maybe too young, I was too cynical. You know, I was a kid. All you think about is about sports. We didn't know anything. We didn't know, really. I mean, give me a character. I was just a confession. It's a fact of what life was then. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. So my own children, when they were able to learn in their years, you know, until they finished high school, it's something more than I would ever to learn. My kids come to summertime, they learn in the summer. But summers, where are summers? I don't care about good in the summer. I don't know about the Morasa. I don't care about good. Morasa didn't exist in those days. What have we learned? Nothing. I mean, you know, we learned a little bit here and there, you know. It wasn't like this. There was no Masvita program in Kemba Good at the time. Nothing. Didn't exist. I said the world now exactly 30 years ago. That's when I was there. 30 or 30 years ago. And adults, you were there. Yeah, we had great respect for him. He was a great handball player at the time. He was known as one of the, I don't know if he's there and everything. But he had no Masvita. He was also so young. I was 16, so he was 20, he was young 20, so he didn't have this much reason. It was nothing. It wasn't from the end, yeah. Sure. Not that he's from Catholic, but it was. I went. I was up a room. I was from Yaakov Yerzer, my co-counselor, my bunk, was an MTA boy. An MTA boy. I'm not going through that. But it was all one world, and I mean, it was one world, but it was a bridgeable world. You don't want MTA boys. Can't be good at these days. It just doesn't happen. It just becomes polarized, whatever it may be. And I was following some of the Camp Paulina, coming out of Yaakov Yerzer Yeshiva. Who was the council book next to me? Rabbi Aaron Kopp. I remember distinctly to walk together. In those days, yeah, the world changed. It's 29 years ago. He would still take the hits. And walk with him from Camp Polina all the way down. I don't know where it is. Still exists. Living in Savannah, we could walk away down to the highway. We could hitch together. He talked about this. And he was a man. Good. The greatest, incredible instrument. He was ready to do it. I was in high school. He was like in the city college at the time. But physics. But yeah, it was enough. So wow, you're talking about heck of it. Was learning and everywhere. But I still remember that I had a different tradition. Started from my Rebbe, who brought me back to the traditions of Europe, I had this with my father. And that the rubber was down there, but your father's tradition is the main thing, you know? Red Blau was telling me just yesterday, that the rubber took a long New York test here to explain why you should do a certain thing a certain way. I forgot what the details were. And then, a common approach over said, well, what should I do? Should I sit? Should I stand? What should I do? Should I do? Well, what does your father do? What do your father does? I gave 4 hours to explain why the other way is better. Not to me. That was the Rav believed very strongly in the stars of fathers. Let's tell you that not every Rashid agrees with that. There's so much Rashid was trying to pull children away from their father. The Rav was not that way. They always tried to, you know, bring the father close. And my father, the language of the emotional elevation, didn't know about the Rav. He was one of the last Mutzmachim. The Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and Dr. Rebel, the father of the Rav, it was right before they both passed away within 2 months of each other, perhaps. And right before that, he and a Chavrus of his, and a few other men in his group came in to get the never lived by the Rav Shir officially without, but at least he had a fair more like that time. But all the years he used to go to the Yartet Shir and etc. Shuvah Drosh, I remember he took me once, I think it was the first time I ever heard the Rav, I think so, I'm not sure, I have to search my memory. I believe it was a Shuvah Drosh. I want to take it to a tshuva drasha. My recollection, severe and terrible disappointment, I had to go to a tshuva drasha. Why? I think, and I have to check the date if it's true. I think it was September of 1962, and I wanted to watch the Dodgers or the Giants or something. I remember picking out the details exactly. Something was going on in baseball. And my father took me away and said, you have to go to Hit a Row. That's how the boy was 15 years old, and that's how we thought baseball. That's what we did. What do we know? But I heard the row. You walked into the room, you felt some kind of a magnetic pull. He's given the hotel downtown, the Americana Hotel. It wasn't given in the yeshiva those years. Let us in the 92nd Street Y, big auditorium there, the theater. He's sitting in the front, and he's packed to the gills, or be in a hotel, and rent out a room. I think it was sponsored by the Arthur Ayers, you know, I think, I'm not sure. And he would just go on and on and on, and he would just. Fantastic. And every time was with one time Musa, never gave it. He'd build up a whole approach and a whole symbolism. And he would talk about it, one of the drugs about our Torah Sedarim, how that Torah Sedarim is symbolic of Shuvah. And I've used it, and I give drugs too every year to teach Shabbat Shuvah. And I use motifs I heard from him, or build up things in a similar fashion. Again, the idea of deity, not the same thing. Where'd you get this from? Where did that come from? I thought, I got it from my rebbe. You have a halach, then I have a gun, then you tie it in, and he's the way he taught it. When I spoke here just a few years ago, I spoke at they have the Kinnis Tshuva, they call now, it's just an echo of what it used to be. So I said in the Ikka Vot, it's something based on what I heard from the rebbe. I even wrote it up. That was the one thing I officially wrote up from the rebbe, was the Kinnis Hamavata. Was I think the Tavshin Lama, that was 69. I was one of the Rav's students, the Hasidim in those years. And they asked me to write it up, the Kitzur, what the Rav said. I think it was printed on the box, he set the file. That the Kitzur numbers, I think later on it was printed by people who put out Al HaTshuva. They also have it in Hebrew, I have it in English. And I built upon that a little bit, and I added it, scrapped it, that's what I wanted. Changed a little bit. That was just what I said that time in the... Here in the yeshiva. It's a face, it's just an echo. He was able to inspire Talmidim over 4 decades plus to attempt to emulate him. And we used to make fun of people who copied the rope. I gotta say, I used to go like this. The way we were doing it, this, they take up the glass and go like this. Everything was just not mimicking the study. I never liked that theater too. Every human being has his own celebrity of his, and just to try to imitate the Pakistani. I thought it was a joke. They were just trying to do whatever they wanted and get away with it by just imitating certain gestures. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe on the contrary, supposed to imitate all the gestures of the rest. I don't know. But I couldn't appreciate it myself. And to me, to my father, who had his own Messiah from Moshe Soloveitchik and from the Rav, said, he told me all along, from my earliest childhood, before I did my mitzvah, you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to learn by the Rav. And I was so confused. What did I know? I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. Fortunately for me, I was able to, I had enough of a Yiddish background through my high school. My grandparents, the Miller of Chaim said on Sunday, I was an incredible statement. I had to be an older statement. What did he say? When I was looking back from here, but it sounded like to me he said that I think sometimes that whoever didn't understand Yiddish couldn't really fully understand my father. You know what he said? I can't remember. I really only heard echoes when we were doing it. That's an amazing statement. But I can understand what it means. The Rebbe was able to pour his heart out in Yiddish better than in English. The Seder year is also better than Yiddish, but the Seder year was an intellectual thing because he got it in English beautifully. Terrific. But there's a certain sentimentality and certain emotions can be expressed in your native tongue, especially with the mastery, but you just couldn't quite fully cop if you didn't understand his language. It seemed to me that as I was growing up, that this was the rub was for me the place of Sofer. Yes, the other Rebbe, I'm not saying I played out my Rebbe in high school, was that way. And his old language under Rav David. Mammoth Platelet of Ram, or the known by all the Gedolim in Europe, you know, the other Shimon and the other Gedolim also. But to me, the one who I was able to link into most, to plug into, to identify with, was the Rav. And I think it was partly because he stood for so many things. I want to think about it. I was talking about revisionism. He meant this, he meant this. He said this, he said that. He used this expression, that expression. You know, I wasn't around in many years with some of these other individuals. And, you know, the time I think I mentioned to you, something I close to with a book. I never wanted a shepherd. He used to bother him and knock him and follow him. He was so tired of him to follow him to his apartment and grave and lose him and ask him. I never wanted to do that. Once in a while, I'd follow too. I mean, I had a shy life, I had to ask him. He didn't want to bother. But when I was in Boston, I was there for 2 summers plus, for those 2 summers especially, he wanted to be bothered. So he sat there and, you know, he's like, okay, new. Like, what do you want to ask me? Like, it was almost a different person. A different person. Of course, he was a little bit older, so he wasn't as sharp and biting as he was in the town of the previous year. And I would ask him this and ask him that, and whatever I wanted to talk to him, I felt like I could talk to him about it. You want to know what's shot? So the Rav was a modern man, he was the modern man. He was a Torah modern, he was a Torah modern. True, I can echo what the Rebbe said yesterday. I never heard the Rav use the word Torah modern. I don't remember. I don't remember using that expression. But did the Rav understand other pursuits? Yes. Somebody wrote about it in the commentary yesterday. Abala Boz said that the Rav Lui was going into, you know, a secular field, and the Rav, didn't look down upon him. The Rav almost didn't look down upon anybody. That was great. The Rav could accept people for what they were. Yeah, the shoddy scholarship that was mentioned on Sunday, the little lazy, he didn't like that. If a person was not able to quite master everything, or even if he was not quite able to accept everything, to observe everything, the Rav still maintained the kesher. That's very interesting. In today's world, you don't have that so much. You don't follow the Rav's feet every last thing, but then you're out. But the Rav was much more open. The Rav didn't say kavod dayan. That's what you pointed out already. He didn't say, do it this way, because they have to be done this way. He was very, very open, and in terms of very, very tolerant. And, you know, in a sense, I think I've probably become a Talmud of his, by, if you've heard me over the years, you know. I don't come down and do... Rav knew how to take firm stance. He did. As a matter of fact, in his Hesped on the Chaim Hela, he points out a very interesting point, which others have spoken on, Cook's understanding so, and others have elaborated upon, that he called the Chaim Hela the Shmuel HaKotzen of our generation. Shmuel HaKotzen was called upon, as you know, the Gemara tells us, when they had to make a Birkas Aminim, Olam Alshinim, to attack the heretics, you know, whoever they were. After he made it, he was a compromise of the cause. He really didn't want it. To say, I'm the people who have no axe to grind. I'm not talking about people who are for or against. I'm loyal people who have good memories and good eyes. But he was against before the 11 Rosh Hashanah. Habib came to him and he said, Rebbe, we have a serious problem. He didn't think it was such a big Ikir Yisod and Emunah, you have to stay out of these kind of groups. He said, you think it was a Lachatila? I don't believe so. Again, I'm speaking now, not firsthand. I don't believe so. Would the Rav feel that nowadays it's necessary to stay in this group? Given the fact that A, the Orthodox is so much stronger. B, that at that point, it was a need.